This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and you're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Welcome to Isla Earth. So you're out in the clear waters of Hawaii and notice that algae are smothering the beautiful coral reefs just below the surface. What's going on? Well, the alga, called Gorilla Ogo, is just one of five non-native algae species that threaten Hawaii's reefs. Thick coverings of algae can kill coral by blocking sunlight and the flow of fresh seawater. Four of the invasive algae species were brought to Hawaiian waters in the 1970s for aquaculture research. Algae are used commercially for everything from making ice cream to thinning paint. And everything was fine until algae-eating fish and sea urchins started their decline in the 1990s. Then the algae took over. Marine biologists at the University of Hawaii have found the perfect solution, though. An underwater vacuum cleaner. Called the Super Sucker, the vacuum is a converted gold dredger that runs on biodiesel. This sucker device can swallow up 800 pounds of the invasive plants every hour, replacing the need for 150 volunteers and 10 divers to perform the task manually. So what happens to the vacuumed up algae? Well, once it's sucked off the coral, it's bagged and sold as a nutrient-rich fertilizer. Learn more at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy with support from its Fund for a Sustainable Planet, because Earth is an island.
something new isn't me. Oh my. I think I'm done, maybe just happy.
forget your sickness and dance. Forget your weakness and dance. Cost of living gets so high, rich and poor they start to cry. Now the weak must get strong, they say, oh, what a tribulation. Them belly full but we hungry. Hungry mob is a hungry mob. Rain or fall but the dirty tough. A pot of yoke, but you not enough. We're gonna chuck to jam music. Chucking, hey, we're chucking to jam music. We're chucking. A pot of coke for the food and a hungry man is a hungry man. A rain of fall for the dirty tough. A pot of you for the you and a rain of fall for the dirty tough. A pot of coke.
So my darling and I make love in the sand to salute the last moment ever on journey. Our machine is as done as work, played as part well. Without a scratch on our body, I may bid it farewell. Starfish and giant flumes greet us with a smile. Before our heads go under, we take a last look at the killing noise.
Of the other style.
Attention local musicians, if you play rock, jazz, folk, bluegrass, hip-hop, Americana, reggae, world music, or blues like D.C. Bellamy here in the background, consider signing up your solo act or your band to the KKFI Band Auction this April. We will showcase your music for 30 minutes on our 100,000-watt radio station in exchange for a donation of a two-hour gig to the KKFI Band Auction. Intrigued? Call Bill at 816-994-7869. That's 816-994-7869.
Is turning the tides away very gently right now on community radio in the 21st century. Good morning out there. It's about 17 until 1 o'clock in the a.m. right here on community radio in the 21st century. I am Benjamin. This is the Paragon Radio Program. Guaranteed to bring you several things this evening. Some humor, some information, and a suicide at some point. And for the uninitiated, just strap in. It'll happen at 3, live on air. For the sake of radio. Today is kind of a suicide anniversary, though, no?
It's the suicide anniversary? The suicide that defined our generation.
Who could you be talking about?
A weird Northwesterner.
A Northwesterner, huh? Break out your plaid, folks. Stick your thumbs through the cuffs of your worn-out sweaters, right?
The old Izod sweaters.
The old ones? Not the new school?
Not the new ones that are sold in the high-end department stores, but the old ones that were, you know, the pre...
You know so much. How do you know so much about fashion?
Oh, you don't know?
No, I don't know. I do know a lot about fashion, though.
My dad once worked stocking at JCPenney.
Oh.
I was really young, though. I don't remember a lot about it.
But it just kind of got instilled within you?
Yeah.
So today is the anniversary of Kurt Cobain's murder-suicide?
Yesterday was.
Is it a murder-suicide?
Yesterday, the 5th, was the day he actually pulled the trigger. Tomorrow, the 8th, was the day that the gardener found the body. So we're kind of in between right now. Today's the in-between day.
So 20 years ago, Cobain's body was just kind of festering in a greenhouse in Seattle.
Yep. Right next to his half-smoked pack of menthol American spirits.
Which sold on eBay for $58,000. Did you see that?
And a needle and a spoon.
Seen the needle and the damage done. Little part of it and everyone.
And just so the listeners know,
heroin's really bad news.
Well, that depends.
And if you read,
it's all in context. It's like saying PCP is bad news. It's all about how you use it.
Okay. And that, just for the sake of fairness, we will have a pro-heroin point of view on the program tonight. That'll be Jesse. He'll be your pro-heroin point of view. I think hard drugs generally tend to be kind of bad news.
Anything that involves sticking a needle in your arm is bad news.
I mean, even Lynyrd Skynyrd knew that. Even Lynyrd Skynyrd knew that was the truth. But, you know, it's one of those things where I still think they should all be legal. Drugs, I mean. I see no reason to not let people overdose on heroin and get all cracked out.
I mean, you know, they make Budweiser now with genetically modified corn. So if they let us drink.
They do?
If they drink.
The Budweiser was made out of rice.
See, that's what we thought, too. But now they make Budweiser out of corn. They figured out a way to do it with corn as opposed to rice.
It's because the Belgians own it.
But it's GMO rice. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Like,
yeah, I thought we were talking about
for anybody that's listening, music. I know that the listeners of this program tend to be on the conspiratorial side of things.
No.
And I just want to put out there, I'm just speaking for myself, but in no way do I feel like that there's some conspiracy. I think there is a conspiracy. Hey, Kurt Cobain wanted to kill himself, and he did.
Speaking of conspiracies, can you go let Jake in?
Okay. Can you show me again the handshake?
I appreciate it. Yeah, so I guess 20 years since Kurt Cobain suicided himself. And it's amazing because it's like Nirvana was the last great American rock band. I mean, what has there been since then? I know, sure. Clearly, there's Godsmack. And who else? And I would say Nickelback, but I'm pretty sure they're Canadians. That's got to be a mostly true statement, though, that Nirvana was the last great American rock band.
Well, what about Radiohead?
Radiohead, they're from England, last time I checked.
But I thought that was a territory of America.
I don't know about how those contracts specifically work, but you might have that one backwards. I mean, sure, everyone wants to say Godsmack. Or what, Linkin Park? Jesse?
No, I wouldn't say Linkin Park.
You wouldn't? You wouldn't say that?
No. I mean, I think what you were saying the other day about how, you know, Beck revolutionized things, I think you were right on in your thinking there.
Yeah, that's when I was wearing my purple robe, going off about how great Beck is. Yeah, I remember that. Under the influence of something.
But, no, I mean,
I remember being very sad the day that I found out, the day that Kurt Loder spent all day on MTV giving us the, you remember?
It was a Friday.
It was like news for kids that liked rock music. MTV News.
It was awesome.
Kurt Loder. I mean, he was our go-to guy.
That's where I got all my news from.
What was the other guy's name? The guy that was,
I know who you're talking about. Short hair, big eyes.
Yeah, he had a little pineapple face and a jerry curl.
Yeah.
But he was a white guy.
He was a white guy
that had a perm. What was that guy's name?
I know who you mean.
He was the other guy that did MTV News.
Yeah. No, I actually watched that footage the other day. Remember?
This is way before the Sway. Remember Sway?
No.
You don't remember Sway?
Mm-mm.
This is like post-Kurt Loder. This is back, you know, when MTV, it felt like it really meant something to watch the station. Man, like, felt like you were a part of something watching MTV.
I like to watch it every day to see if there was any you know, Axl Rose updates, because even
There you go.
There was always something.
Yeah, just how his the court proceedings were going generally. You know, what part of the country was were they not touring in, was Guns N' Roses avoiding because of outstanding warrants?
And I was one of the few kids in junior high who liked both bands. I mean, I will say that. Most of my friends who liked Guns N' Roses were not fond of Nirvana and the Love Movement.
The Love Movement? You mean the whole movement?
Yeah, the whole movement.
Yeah, the whole movement.
It was, because I remember it was different times then. You know, it was, there were tough guys. Guys who would kick your ass, really. This is the only way you could really say that.
Bruisers.
You know, they were, you know, the Kill 'Em All crowd. And they...
No, that's what I remember. I remember there being a distinct Metallica Guns N' Roses split.
Yeah, there was the kids in the leather jackets, and there was the kids in the corduroy jackets. And most kids in corduroy jackets that I knew did not like GNR. And most kids in leather jackets I knew did not like Nirvana, because they were a bunch of panty waists.
There might be some truth to that.
But
I remember liking both, though.
We fell on that weird cusp where we could like both. You know what I mean? The kids that, I remember the kids a little bit older than us never accepted the three chord movement that was called grunge. You know, the old face melter tap crowd.
Well, what was, and the funny part about that is, you know, you listen to Kurt Cobain's guitar work 20 years out, you know, from his death, and it's not just, I mean, it's a lot of it is three chord rock and roll, but that's a lot of what rock and roll is. But the harmonies that were put forth and the melodies that he used, and he had some excellent guitar work. I mean, for a punk.
Well, you know, watching a lot of that footage, one of the things that I got to thinking about, and I was talking to someone the other day about one of the reasons why that whole, you know, scene was so amazing. And of course, you know, by the time we all found out about it, it was already commercialized. But how,
and now they're still talking about alternative rock music. I mean, there's, you know, 96.5,
like Dave Matthews Band,
but exactly, alternative, all this stuff is alternative. And I mean, clearly by the time
Norah Jones,
Smells Like Teen Spirit, would she be considered alternative?
Well,
that's like jazz or something. That's like, yeah, Norah Jones,
jazz,
yeah, the jazz guys, the smooth jazz. Norah Jones and smooth jazz.
But no, but like the thing is like looking at a lot of the old, you know, thinking of the way things were back then, one of the things I noticed was how present everybody was.
How present?
Know? Well, there was no cellular devices.
Yeah, they weren't
busy
texting.
That was before, you know,
they were updating their Facebook page.
I was just telling somebody about when we went to Chicago to see Adams for Peace.
And playing another rousing game.
And about how I was.
Fruit Ninja.
About how we were going to meet, you probably recall, we were going to meet in front of the venue. And I didn't want to bring my phone. And my girlfriend's like, well, how the hell are you going to find Ben? And I'm like, well, I don't know. We're going to the same show. We'll find each other. And you were like, well, I'm not going to have a phone because I don't have a phone. And what happened? I sat out in front of the place. The girls got, you know, the girls were all panicked. But guess what? When you came walking up, I'm like, look, there's Ben there. Hey, Ben, we're over here. No problem. I didn't have to text you like, hey, buddy, we're over here by the stop sign. And then you text me, LOL, I see you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I saw you, you saw me, and I said, hey. And that was in Chicago, but the third biggest city in America. We managed to find each other without a cell phone, you know? It was like, then we couldn't see.
Yeah,
because everybody in front of us was holding up their phone filming the concert.
Everyone was present, and you could smoke inexpensive cigarettes everywhere. It was back when a pack of smokes is like $1.90, you know? It's a different time. You look at that file footage, nobody's on a cell phone, and everyone's just puffing away.
Well, no, I mean, watching the footage of just all the, you know, all the chaos from the shows back then, you know, I mean, can you imagine what it would be like now? I mean, you look back then, it looks like everybody in these crowds, you know, and I hate to be one of those guys, because I remember in the 90s, I used to make fun of those guys. It was like, man, I saw Motley Crue in 84, man. You don't even know what that was like. You know, I don't hate to be one of those guys like, yeah, well, you know, the 90s this, but the one thing that's for sure is that, you know, you can tell everybody was there together. And I'm not saying that couldn't happen again, but it's very unlikely, because it just looked like a small family.
Yeah, they lasted for a short period of time.
Crowd surfing and, you know, even just the old ritualistic going out to get pancakes afterwards and stuff. And maybe that stuff still exists, but it's just...
Well, I mean, what, last year, as we were planning that trip to go up to Chicago to see Adams for Peace, I got reminiscing about, you know, the way rock music used to be powerful and it brought people together. And you could go to Sandstone with 20,000 of your neighbors and friends and see, you know, a band that everyone was really excited about. And now who fills up Sandstone? Nobody.
Phil Lesh and friends.
We looked at, and that would be a good show to, I mean, compare it relatively speaking. Not to hate on the dead or whatever, but that would be a good show compared to the big act that played Sandstone last year was John Mayer. And they had to sell Groupons to fill, I mean, Groupons. For the people out there that don't know, is a soulless coupon. Sell Groupons to fill up Sandstone. I mean, that's sad. It used to be sex, drugs, and rock and roll that filled that thing up.
It used to be that you'd have to go down to your local CD warehouse at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning and stand in line.
Right.
And hope that you were able to, you know, buy some tickets or whatever the venue was back then. You remember when you had to buy concert tickets at a Sam Goody or something like that?
No, I do. The spot you would buy concert tickets in Midtown, you'd go to customer service at Crown Center, and that was a Ticketmaster.
Hmm.
You'd go buy them there.
Seventh Heaven used to have them.
Sure.
Adam Curry was the VJ I think you're thinking of.
Adam Curry, yeah.
Was it Adam Curry?
Yeah, it was.
I think so.
No, I mean, he wasn't a VJ. He was one of the reporters for MTV News. Hey, I don't think it was Adam Curry. But you could be right. I should look at a picture of him.
And I deleted my Facebook page today.
You did? What happened?
I hit delete.
You do realize that you can just sign back in at any moment. That's the powerful thing about Facebook, is that you still exist.
I've heard the rumor.
No, it's not Adam Curry. It's not Adam Curry. He's too pretty. What's MTV News?
What's the WPA, Ben?
John Norris?
The WPA?
Tabitha Soren.
That's John dude's Norris. Name. John Norris.
John Norris, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other guy was Tabitha Thorne.
Yeah, Tabitha.
Talk about a middle school crush. Wonder what she's doing these days. She's on Facebook all night.
She's
now.
Blogging. You know, that's what she's doing. That's what they all do now.
She's a writer for 30 Rock.
Oh, my God. She's 46 years old.
Free range radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's the response to your query, Jesse.
Oh, okay.
You see, I mean, MTV, just like everything else, is metastasized into some sort of, you know, surreal TV reality special. And that's unfortunate because music used to have power. Music still does have power, but it's about selling your soul out to the Illuminati and twerking, you know, your little 17-year-old body off.
So the world is so cheap now. It's the world's been Grouponed, you know. But I heard a recent thing lately. I heard Wayne Coyne, who usually is pretty insightful, and he was talking about how, you know, people. I like alternative points of view, and you know, everybody says, you know, how ruined the music industry is now, and he was saying, well, is it really? He's like, you're missing the overall. Like the music industry now for punk rockers, I mean, yeah, if you want to go on American Idol and try to get, you know, $25 million, you know, right off the bat, it's different. But like for your average punk rock,
for the do-it-yourselfer
type. You know, he was saying it's never been better. He was saying, like, you know, 20 years ago, even, you had a boombox.
No, he's absolutely right.
You could record in your bedroom, and nobody was ever going to hear it. And now, if you're willing to do the work, it's all about, like, bands now are all about how much you. It's not like you're waiting for some guy in a suit with a cigar to say, like, we're going to take you right to the top, boy. We're going to get a steak dinner. We're going to get you $250,000. We're going to get you an electric Larryland, and then we're going to do this. It's like now it's however hard you're willing to work, that's how far you can do it. You can put your own stuff on the internet.
Did you just say electric?